Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
As promised, Maestro Alan Scott in
the
studio.
It was almost not as promised.
I almost nailed it. He walked in about 5 seconds after we sent it to break. So, you know what? I think that works out. It's theatrics, right, Alan?
Yeah, my apologies. I mean, no. To make you guys sweat, sorry.
No, it's live radio. It happens. I appreciate you coming by. And I mean, you're a busy guy. You just got into town last night.
I did. I was with my orchestra in Philadelphia for about 10 days. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you split time, for folks that don't know, between here and Philadelphia. You're working with other groups as well. You're very, very busy. You said you have, what, 9 more concerts still before?
Before my little Christmas break.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, Howland is my main job, actually.
Right.
And that's full time. And the Southeastern Pennsylvania Symphony Orchestra out of Philadelphia, that's also full time. It's pretty common for conductors to do full time. I could easily just live here and be very comfortable and have a good, happy life.
Yeah.
but I think conductors are artistically greedy. We like to do the reason is it keeps us sharp. And then I'll guest conduct a bit. And then I'm the principal conductor for a ballet company in Delaware, Wilmington Ballet Company.
Yeah.
So I have no responsibilities whatsoever there other than the conduct. I don't have any, you know, administrative. I don't get involved with fundraising. I do a little PR, but that's it. So I'll have about a week full of ballet coming up after Thanksgiving. So.
Yeah, I bet you look good in tights, Alan. I bet you can pull that thing off.
I'm glad I'm in the pit. I'm glad I'm in the orchestra pit. But so, and then I come right back for here for our Christmas in the Cathedral, and then I'll take about 3.5 weeks downtime.
So obviously, big differences when we talk Philadelphia and Helena performances, but the talent of the musicians in our symphony, the guest artists that we're able to have come in, my guess is we can hold our own with anyone in the country.
Oh yeah, I mean obviously. When you're dealing with like what we call the Big Five or the Big 11, these are the orchestras that are doing about 180 concerts
sure.
a year. The Philadelphia Orchestra, for example, that's a different caliber, obviously. But that's all they do, you know, and they're able to pay. You know, that those orchestras' starting salary just for the newest player in the orchestra is over $180,000 for starting salary, and goes on upward. Concertmaster is probably about $450,000.
Yeah.
So. But the music directors only do about 19 weeks of the 52 weeks that they play, and so, and you're paid about $2 million. So, but because they use a lot of guest conductors, so often when I'm guest conducting, I'm guest conducting orchestras that someone else is a music director. I'm just a guest conductor. I mean, I'm there with the orchestra for a week.
You're the substitute teacher. You have no responsibility.
In effect, yeah. Right? And so you work with that orchestra, and some you immediately click with. That's happened to me many times, particularly in New Zealand, Romania, where you just, it's like being on the field with the team, and all of a sudden everything just makes sense to them and to you. And sometimes new relationships start out of that. You become the principal guest conductor, meaning you're there regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a long time, I was with the Wilmington Ballet Orchestra and Chorus because we just clicked. And that was about 12 years ago. And I was just a guest conductor, and I was just there. I did a few other productions in ballet, and just the orchestra is very fine. And then they said, you know, the orchestra, the dancers, we all seem to really click. So we'd like to name you principal guest conductor. And that's where I am now.
Yeah. So. Well, and Duncan, Helena, I mean, you play some non-series concerts, and one of those coming up, it's going to be at St. Paul's United Methodist Church this weekend. Mozart by Candlelight. First off, I guess, what's it like playing there? I mean, it's different, obviously, than the standard setting. It's really neat, though.
Yeah, we consider that. I mean, our main home is the Helena Civic Center. We consider St. Paul's sort of our chamber home, our chamber orchestra home, because we do most of our symphony kids concerts there, concerts for 5 to 10-year-olds. Just had one 2 weeks ago. They're free. And acoustically, it's a wonderful place. It's also the home of the Symphony Chorale, where they rehearse. And we did a chamber concert there last year, and it went really, really well. And we're using a pretty regular size orchestra, still about, you know, a little smaller, but not huge, still about 50 players, 45 players.
So that sound's going to just fill that.
It'll fill the hall. Yeah. There's no question. And it's, you know, it seats about 500. And we wanted to do something different for the non, you know, the Masterwork series are at the Civic Center mostly. We have non-series like the Symphony Under the Stars, the Christmas in the Cathedral next month. And then we usually have a third non-series that we try something different with. We've done all sorts of things. And we're going to try this Mozart by Candlelight. And we have not done a concert by Candlelight, but we've been, our staff has been working on it. And we have hundreds of candles and candelabras from things that hold one candle, things that hold 25 candles, things that hold 15 candles, pretty large abras all over the stage area that really will create an ambiance that's incredible.
Yeah.
And the concert is sold out. So yeah. I know we're promoting it, right. But it sold out about 4 weeks ago. It was a flat rate, $20. You can't really beat that. Open seating. There's balconies there and everything. And we're not sure. We're going to find out why it sold out so quickly. We think it's the candlelight issue, but it also could be part of it is Mozart. It's Mozart by candlelight. You know, certainly a recognizable name. And also, the greatest clarinetist in the world is not even arguably. It is absolutely. He's absolutely the greatest clarinetist in the world. Ricardo Morales. He's from Puerto Rico. He's now the principal clarinet at the Philadelphia Orchestra, which is how we know each other. He was the clarinetist of the New York Philharmonic. He was the clarinetist at the Metropolitan Opera. But he left Philadelphia to go to New York Phil and didn't think it was a fit and came back to Philadelphia. And he's been on the scene. He's probably my age, late 40s, and he's been on the scene for a long time. And you would think, oh, well, how special clarinet can be, which is what I would think too.
Right.
And I was sitting in a rehearsal in Philadelphia at the Philadelphia Orchestra. I have a bunch of friends in the orchestra. And I went to an orchestra rehearsal and I was sitting just in the balcony right above the orchestra and listening. And I heard one person play a note, like a long note. And I wasn't even sure what instrument it was. I do this for a living. And so it was Ricardo Morales. And I knew he was good. But I did not get a sense of what this was.
Yeah, we actually have. I pulled a couple of quick little sound bites. They're not
of Ricardo.
Yeah, they're not of Mozart. This is not what people are going to hear. But I just wanted to pull a couple of things just to give people an idea of just the talent level that we're talking here. So let's play one of them just real quick. Who can do that?
Yeah. Well, there's one guy. Many clarinetists can do it, but to do it with that, it sounds easy. That's probably, he does a lot of master classes online and things. It sounds easy. So much so that even the makers of the clarinet have been working with him. They're making a new clarinet that will be named after him. He's been working on that.
And he's done that before, right? Sort of kind of.
He's helped tweak
helped
things.
Build,
and now there's another one. Yeah, it's just, and this is a man who came from nothing. I mean, he was from Puerto Rico, nothing. His entire family is musicians. And even when we were texting last night, he was thanking me profusely for the opportunity. This guy could play anywhere with anyone he wants. And he spent more time thanking me on text messaging last night than we did talking. I mean, he is so gracious and kind. And I don't know if he knows he's the greatest clarinetist in the world. I don't think that's an issue for him. I think the issue is I just got to work so hard because that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
He has this incredible work ethic that has made him so great, and he's extremely humble. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
And
well, you mentioned humble, you know, and we have to take a break, but before we do, I want to play. Let's play that second one real quick, Kurt, because it immediately shows just, you know, it's an object lesson of his humility. And that was okay.
And that was Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin. Yeah. And say, he was doing a masterclass online.
Right.
He's showing the different orchestral licks that they have to learn.
But that one of the more famous clarinet concertos, and everybody, that's one that he was talking in that clip about, you know, that's one he gets nervous to play because everybody knows it. They're ready. They know what it sounds like.
It's from a piano concerto, but the clarinet opens the piece.
Right.
It's the first thing you hear. And it's,
it has to be great. But that is so crisp and so clean and beautiful. And he goes, that was okay. You try to do better every time.
And brilliant, right? So, We're really excited. The orchestra obviously is very excited to play with somebody. I mean, we bring a lot of world-class guest artists in. I think they're particularly, you don't get many wind players. Usually you would give this concerto, you would give, if you're going to do a wind piece, you would offer it to the principal clarinet first. So when I did talk with our principal clarinet, Jill Miller, I said, I'm thinking about doing the Mozart clarinet. And she goes, I'll do it. I said, and I'd be happy for you to do it. I said, the other option is we could bring in Ricardo Morelli. She goes, we're bringing in Ricardo Morelli. Because she goes, I just want to be, she doesn't even play in that piece. She'll play in another piece. She goes, I just want to be in the same room.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to, and take a master class with him while he's here and things like that. So this is, you know, internally it's exciting for musicians to play with someone. This is just, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's the Hall of Famer. So we got to take a quick break, and we've got Alan Scott in the studio for a little bit more coming up on Coffee Break. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. Troy Shockley with you this morning on Coffee Break. Maestro Alan R. Scott is our guest in the studio. We're talking the concert coming up here on Saturday, and we're teasing you all about it. And it's almost a cruel tease, because if you don't have tickets, well, you just don't get to go. This thing is sold out. You can't call and put your name on the waiting list, right?
Yeah,
just sort of cross your fingers.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't know that until like this morning. I was told that they are taking waiting lists, because you never know. And
so you're praying for like an outbreak of food poisoning, you know, and then somebody can't go.
You never know what can happen. And, you know, we try to tell people to follow us on Facebook or to just follow, go to our website and check out concerts, because the Christmas in the Cathedral is also sold out. And that usually sells out about a week or two before. This, it sold out 2 months before.
Wow.
So, which is really exciting. You know, sometimes we debate doing double performances. We have before. With this Mozart by Candlelight, we had no idea what the response would be. We didn't know. And we had considered it. And it's not like, because with the orchestra's master agreement and the soloist contracts, it's not like you can just add one at the last second. Sure. You'd have to build that in a year in advance. So we might stick with these Candlelight concerts. There seems to be a lot of feedback for it that's really positive. It should go really well. It's just a cool, different, it's not, you know, some people, there are orchestras do candlelight concerts, and they usually do it in the 18th century garb, you know, with almost think Revolutionary War era with the powdered wigs.
Right.
And so they're doing music by Mozart and Haydn, and I don't know, costumes and all, it feels a little gimmicky to me. I'm more that this is about the music. It's not
right.
So, but
the music itself is timeless.
Right. And so, and also if you're going to do it in, you know, classical era, 1750 to 1820. I mean, it sort of boxes you into that time period. I don't want to be boxed into that. And I kind of feel like the Candlelight is cool. It just gives a different feel for how you're listening. So I like that. But what we wear and all that, I don't think that's...
Yeah. So unfortunately, you can't go and listen to the greatest clarinetist in the world play Mozart this weekend. But, you know, look him up online, and it's not hard. You don't even have to know how to spell his name. I promise you, go to the Google, type in clarinet, and then R-I. That's all you have to do, and he pops up.
Really?
I mean, that's how big a deal he is.
Wow.
So you actually do, and Rico makes clarinet reeds, and he pops up right there next to it. So, I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. We're not, this is not hyperbole. This man is sort of synonymous with clarinet.
Yeah, he's the greatest clarinet. I mean, I don't know if there's another way to say it. He's the greatest clarinetist in the world. And,
yeah.
He's amazing, and he's an amazing human being. And, you know, there's it's great to sell out. Like I said, it's really exciting when we sold out, and it was about 2.5-3 weeks ago, and everybody's very excited. But you know, I want as many people to experience our music making as possible. St. Paul's is definitely a more intimate hall, which is why we wanted this for this particular concert. Doesn't mean we wouldn't bring them back for one of the main Masterworks concerts. And
I think clearly the call is there already. So
yeah, and I think people are interested because it's Mozart and because it's Candlelight. I think people are intrigued by that.
Yeah, you check a lot of boxes,
and it's $20. It's not usually our tickets are between. I think they're between 12 and 57, depending on where you sit in the hall, main hall. But this is just $20, so I think that was also an inviting thing. So we're just trying to. We're always trying to see how do we make our music making more accessible and more inviting for people. The music is never the problem is what we know. Right. I mean, so.
Well, and yeah, this guy, like I said, you know, check him out online, Ricardo Morales. I mean, he's fantastic. And I can speak from experience, very, very limited experience, but I was first chair, Alan, at Billings West High.
Were
it was
you?
A few years ago.
The clarinet?
But I was okay on the clarinet.
All right.
So, and he, I read he plays on 1.5 reeds, which is unbelievable. So we do want to talk about the rest of the schedule here, and we've got about 4 minutes left.
Yeah,
so what's coming up?
So obviously the next
past the Christmas concert that you also can't go to.
Sold out Monday, December 16th. Again, you get your name on a waiting list. That's
yeah, and do it now. At least you get high on the
Handel's
list.
Messiah. We do that every other year. It sells out. It's a great way to usher in the holiday season, even though it's not a Christmas work technically, but it's so popular at this time of year. But then what many people do, and we really ask you to consider it, you know, when you're buying gifts for people for Christmas, Passover, Kwanzaa, Ramadan, whatever your holiday is, birthdays, you can consider giving the gift of music because it's something, it's not just another sweater, right? It's you can give a gift certificate where the person can buy any concert that's available. We have world-class young violinist Robin Bollinger coming in January, which we're doing this massive Bruckner Fourth Symphony with it, separate piece that I just did in Philly. People went crazy. And then February, a great American pianist doing the Gershwin. We heard a little bit of Rhapsody in Blue. This is the other Gershwin piano concerto in F with Dvorak's New World Symphony, two of the most popular works of symphonic music. We'll be doing Bizet's Carmen, the opera. It's the only time we sold every single seat in the Helena Civic Center 14 years ago. We did Bizet's Carmen. And so... people have been buying tickets for that already.
Wow.
And then we have another big Rossini and Mendelssohn concert, the Italian Symphony in March. That's just the main Masterworks concerts that remain for the year. You can buy a gift certificate for as much as you, or as little as you want for a dollar amount and give it to somebody and they could use it. It's a great way to give. People really like that around Christmas time. When you want to think about something to get somebody, people like to buy experiences for somebody.
Yeah, for the guys out there listening, I promise I've learned this. It took me almost like 15 years to figure it out.
An experience. You go to dinner.
My wife loves the gift of an experience.
And people like, or they've never been to the symphony, and they come and they, we're going to try it out. Inevitably, I assure you, you will want to come back. We have so many people who do this and they end up subscribing the following year because they didn't realize how much they were missing out and how fun it is. And you go out to dinner, you make it a thing, or you go out afterwards. It's a great thing. And you know, our average audience age is 48 to 52 years old. That's almost 20 years less than the national average audience age. This is not the traditional older audience. This is young professionals. We have the traditional older audience, of course. We have children who come to these things. We have young professionals. It's a great networking thing. People take their clients or they give tickets to their clients for concerts as gifts.
Yeah, how great is it to send a prospective client and say, okay, why don't you go and watch the greatest clarinetist in the world, and then we'll talk tomorrow, right? I mean, how...
There's so many different ways. Or just you want to get out, or you want something... People bring their kids all the time. Our concerts are really appropriate for children, I would say. And we do special concerts for 5 to 10-year-olds that are free. And that's fantastic. The regular concerts are equally great for the kids. You start them in this young, and they love it.
So how do people get their hands on that? How do they call and get more information?
They can come to the Symphony Box Office, which is over on Les Transculture on the Walking Wall, the Women's Mural Building, the Livestock Building. Or go online. They can call us at 442-1860. They can go online at helenasymphony.org. They can follow us on Facebook. There's so many ways you can get a hold of us. We try to be available 24/7. Certainly online, you can buy tickets 24/7.
Yeah, and lots of information online too. If you just kind of want to get on and say, okay, I heard that schedule, but I want to find out, you know, maybe pick a date that you think is going to work for you. The schedule's online as well?
Yep, everything's online for the next year. And, you know, we do the special benefit concert. That's a pricier ticket. That's the special estate, Montana Ting. It's a full dinner and event and, you know, real hobnobby, red carpet, limited seating. And then we'll do, of course, then the Symphony of the Stars will open up, unofficially open the season in July. So there's always some, every 3 weeks there's something.
Yeah, there's always something going on in Helena, always something going on with the Symphony. Maestro Alan R. Scott, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks,
man.
So
I appreciate
much.
It.
Thanks.
That's all the time we have for Coffee Break. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.